Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm William.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything tabletop role-playing games.
And today we are going to talk about what me and Brian have been up to in our own personal TTRPG lives.
Welcome, adventurers, to the Dungeon Cast.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, you, Will.
How are you doing today?
Yeah. I'm good. How are you? I just try to be unique with it every time.
You
run out of stuff.
And you succeed. Continue to succeed. I'm doing good. You're doing good?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Today we're going to just talk about what we're doing in our games these days.
That's true. And when you ask me how I'm doing, I always want to talk about the fucking weather like we're doing small talk. And like,
oh.
I don't know. I just like... We're in SoCal, so it's always pretty good. And people,
it's usually pretty good, except for summers for me are a nightmare.
No, they are pretty bad.
Yeah.
Summers are way, way hot.
Yeah.
But
and not even because California is like more hot than a lot of places in the States, because there are places that were way worse. I just am terrible with heat.
Yeah, like, it's not my fave.
80 degrees or higher, I'm dying. Yeah. So
see, this is why I need to stop bringing up the weather, because here we are. What are you doing? How many dice you roll lately?
Quite a few. We just finished an Unhallowed game before these recordings, so like, I think I rolled more dice than you guys.
What's an Unhallowed, Will?
For those on the who are hearing this for the first time, Unhallowed is an ongoing horror, dark fantasy D&D campaign that we're recording and producing and hoping to release this year. We're putting a lot of work into it. It's going to have like an immersive audio experience. Mm-hmm.
We've done a lot of games, and
we've done a lot of games.
It's going to be for Patreon before it hits the public feeds.
Patreon's going to get it first.
Yeah,
Before it gets the public feeds. But yeah, we just recorded like episodes 16 and 17 today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
And I'm thinking season one's going to go to like 21 or 22.
Yeah. So just a heads up to people, like, listening to this from the last one, there's some people like, you guys just talked about like a bunch of stuff, like you guys just plugged a bunch of your stuff. Well, a lot of what we do for the tabletop space is this show.
Yeah.
And the other shows, like, that takes up a lot of time.
Yeah.
So that kind of is our D&D life. We're not doing this episode to plug. We just want to talk about like some of the minutiae of the game in like a candid way with you guys, and see, you know, maybe we can inspire people and just sort of talk about the game in a way we're not typically doing on the show.
Indeed, yeah. Also, like, we're here to talk about our campaigns that are not related to content creation as mm-hmm. well. So what kind of tabletop gaming have you been partaking in of late?
I did catch a one-pager with Marcos and Mariko and Jake recently.
Mm-hmm.
We jumped on and played, what was it? We were going to play Chickens.
Oh, that's
and
a
then
fun one.
Yeah, and then we played something else. I can't remember the name of it. It's escaping me right now. I'm trying to remember what we even did in that game. I remember having a ton of fun. I've played a one pager recently. We'll loop back around to that.
Okay,
so that was
right.
That was a good time. But mostly I've been running my home campaign. So for people that are either listening to our Patreon show, the Dungeon Chats, or which we haven't talked about this game in a while on there either, but our last episode is called Our D&D Lives, where we had a conversation like this. I'd kind of caught people up. I was playing Dungeon of the Mad Mage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're running a level 5. That, yeah. So we did finish the first level of the dungeon. Basically, I like scoop. I took the layout of the dungeon and kind of scooped it and did my own thing in the rooms. Mm-hmm. So I kept the map. And
that's it.
Did my own thing. I was like, let's.
I
do
have
some,
a tendency to do that.
Let's
a lot
do
too.
Some demon shit. So now that that part of the adventure is over, I think we played like 8 to 10 games in that level of the dungeon. Mm-hmm. I was doing demon shit. And there were references to lots of demon lords and stuff, but it was that level was dedicated to Jublix specifically. So it was like oozy and gooey, and we were assimilating. Humanoid bodies to become juice people or something like that in that mm-hmm. nature. There were like containment areas with like, you know, the creepy like a cylinder filled with liquid and like a vat.
Yeah,
and like a body in there and like
Hell
stuff
yeah.
like that.
There's
like a hallway full of those, and they were getting like acid burns and stuff. I knocked a paladin out with some acid trap.
Nice.
And then they ended up meeting and fighting, or meeting, bartering with, and eventually fighting the aspect of Jublix in that level.
Oh, no
dungeon.
Shit.
Yeah.
What level are they?
They were level 5.
How what was the CR on this bad boy?
Not crazy high.
Okay.
CR is can be misleading.
It can
Man,
be.
Somebody got in our ass in the YouTube comments about CR, and I'm like,
did they?
Bro, it's part of the fucking mechanics of the game. Like, they're like, why are you talking about this? It's a myth and an illusion.
A myth?
Yeah, it's like, doesn't
it's a
make
myth
any,
and illusion.
Like, why would you go off of CR when you should just like they were saying something about balancing combats is like why your combats are failing. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, I know the comment you're talking about. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I respect their approach to what they were trying to get at there, but like,
yeah, that's one way to play the game. Like,
you don't gotta dump on everybody else though.
Yeah, exactly. You can have a way of doing things that's really cool without exactly dumping on everybody else's also different way of doing
I
things.
I was like, chill out, man. It's cool. We all play different games. But yeah, I like to structure my combats more like how many successful hits can I do on my party before they die?
Interesting.
To kind of get a read on like how long will this combat take, and then I don't know what the dice are going to do when we get there.
Yeah, true.
So like this combat could end this quickly or be this long. That's like how I go for it. Like, what length of combat am I looking for? Is this range of turns going to work for the time I have for this game? And so my CRs kind of end up being like that. Like, oh, I want this fight to be kind of pressing, so they're going to do a D8 of damage instead of a D6 or a D10 instead of, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'll scale it like that. So I didn't use like a true Jublix stat block or anything like that. I was like, gave it some ooze powers.
This is like a minor aspect of Jublix.
Yeah, and it was a minor aspect that was not very powerful.
Yeah.
Because they were really beat up by the time they got there.
Oh my god!
Too.
Oh
like,
god!
They went through this whole dungeon and got there. And this guy, I had him be like a sleazy, like real greasy, like a cowboy kind of vibe.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, he showed up kind of, they're in this like goo area, and then it kind of transforms to be like, you know, what would a demon lord's illusion to get you to take a bad deal look like?
Okay.
And so this like sort of funny, like Clint Eastwood type was talking to them. Like, I needed him to be a little hard and gritty. So he's not a pushover.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of gave him that tough aspect to his personality. He was like, hey, you know, why don't you, like, they had come across some followers of the demon lord earlier in the dungeon, and they murdered them all because they're a bunch of murder hobos, right, in a dungeon full of, like, weird demon-possessed people.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, you kind of, like, murdered all my guys, but you could be my guys. And like, there's a lot of cool shit in the layers of this dungeon below us that we can totally get into, but you're going to need my help, and I can't really leave this room. So I'm going to need your help. So why don't we work together and like figure out, like, you found a bunch of cool shit in the dungeon. I can tell you're like decked out with some items and stuff. Great stuff. Why don't we work together? No big deal. Like, you come down here when you're ready, and then we'll work together, go down to the level below, and you know, it'll all be good.
Okay.
And they were like, nah, we don't know you, dude. You know, like,
okay,
what's
going to
stop us from just like keeping all this shit? And he's like, you know, you're right about that. You don't have to be here. But like, so we did that for a while. Like,
okay.
Some back and forth.
Gotcha.
And he was like, eventually they're like, nah, fuck you. And he's like, that's too bad. And then the illusion breaks, and they're covered in slime up to
their,
like,
he was capturing him during that.
Yeah.
Nice. I love that.
And they get knocked out, and they wake up in the yawning portal above. And so I ended the game with them getting scooped up in this goo, right? Mm-hmm. And no damage yet. And then I ended the game.
Okay.
And they were like, ah, shit. Okay, cliffhanger. We'll see you next couple weeks. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks goes by. Session starts. I'm like, yeah, so you're at dinner in the yawning portal and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yo, what the fuck?
What
we
happened?
Were here.
Yeah,
and I was like, I was like, you're not listening to what I'm saying to you, you know, like, and they're like, okay, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And they start doing the investigative work. And then, one guy, I serve them food and drink. Right. Mm. And one guy is like, I drink all the beer while they're up investigating and trying to figure out what's going on. And I was like, ah,
oh God.
So he ingests like poison. Basically he's eating the goo.
Yeah.
He doesn't know it.
Yeah.
And, so I get to go disadvantage on that guy, regular poison rules, lots of fun. They end up breaking the illusion by like, oh, we played some beer pong. He's like, just because I thought it'd be fun to mix it up. I was like, okay, if it's all you guys versus me. I'm really good at beer pong. I was like, it's all you guys versus me. And so if I win, I'll do some damage to you guys once they figured out the illusion. And if you guys win, you won't take any damage. You'll be free from the goo and then we can do the fight. And I won. So
oh,
I did
wow.
a bunch of damage, yeah.
Okay, fucking... hold on. Let's talk about the beer pong. Was it you took a turn and then they all got a turn and then you took a turn again?
It was I take two turns and then they take two turns.
Okay.
So it's still the same amount of turns,
yeah,
but
okay,
it's just
okay.
a bunch of people rotating in. So right. really I had an advantage.
Yeah, I was going to say you have the
I'm
advantage.
I'm all warmed up.
You're hilarious.
But yeah, we did that. I thought that was a cool mix up.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
I was like, let's play a bar. Like this cowboy guy shows up in the bar uh-huh. when they figure it out. And he's like, let's play like a classic drinking game and figure out like where we stand, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then they do the thing and then we go back. Mm. And the dude's like, what was I eating? You know, or like
oh,
whatever.
Gosh.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah, we do some damage. They make it out. You know, the fight was not tilted too hard against them. Mm. And they obliterate all the goo and they go back upstairs and they cash out some of their magic items they don't want and keep the ones they do. And now we're playing a game. I was like, do you guys want to go back in the dungeon or do you want to do an adventure outside of Waterdeep?
Because
we're playing in Waterdeep because it's Mad Mage, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I could set up a dragon thing. And they were like, oh, yeah, let's do a dragon thing. So we did a dungeon. Now we're doing a dragon.
Okay. Yeah. So, any details you want to give me on that, on this adventure?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, you guys are military, conscripted by the military of Waterdeep, and you live in, like, barracks that are implemented into the Yawning Portal. Just for convenience sake of the game,
sure.
where I could like, you wake up in the place where the adventure is, and I don't have to worry about it.
Right, right, right.
And also, like, this is where you stay because they're like portal. They're like world travelers. Mm-hmm. They've like come from a different world because we were playing a different game before this that didn't pan out.
Oh, right.
I was like, well, if you guys want to keep these characters, I can like poof you into a new dimension, and we'll play Forgotten Realms stuff. And they're like, yeah, that sounds fine.
I can only imagine what it's like for these friends of yours to try and explain their D&D game to other people.
I know we've been playing for like 3 years now, so
yeah,
it's
crazy.
Been like real convoluted because I'm not putting a lot of effort into story beats because of the nature of how we play.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like a more free and loose thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's trust me, it works for this group.
Oh yeah, yeah. for sure.
And so like I guess my advice here, if I'm gonna offer some advice to listeners, like know your group.
Yeah, definitely know your group.
And we're now there's a dragon outside of Waterdeep that is posing a threat to the city. So the military is using its like mercenary details to send out like those details to a camp where they can like set up outside of the swamp where they're going to go in and like kill this dragon. But the first night goes really bad. They get ambushed by a bunch of like goblins, orcs, like things like that, kobolds, things of that nature, like sort of a ragtag team of like a lot of classic D&D mob villains.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go that well. My cleric doesn't heal anybody that game.
Oh, you told me about
and
this.
We had a death in the party.
Oh my goodness.
And the very next game I was like, I had a guy die. I tried to balance the combat in a way that was very challenging because there was a healer in the party and
yeah.
you didn't heal anybody and that guy built a really weak died.
What did the cleric do? What was the cleric like?
So this
being
is,
offensive?
What this game really is a game of pure chaos that has the deck of many things in it. Mm-hmm. They've had the deck of many things since the get. Mm-hmm. We started the dungeon with them having it on them, and it disappeared, and then I want them to keep refining it. Because I think in the last episode we did this, I'm like, dude, the deck of many things keeps trying to fucking eject itself out of my game.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
Except for like it got ejected into a place where they're gonna be later.
Right, and so they'll find it again later, and then we restart.
So we've done that a couple times.
Interesting.
A couple people have died to the deck, or died. They drew Donjon. Donjon teleports them to a place that you can't learn its location unless you cast the wish spell to learn its location.
Is that why they're looking for wishes? You told me they were looking for wishes.
So to find, they don't give a fuck about one of the people that got Donjon, but the other guy they like, so they're gonna go find him.
Okay.
So the tag, I was like, I could set up a wish scenario if you guys want to pursue that. And so we talked about it, and they were like, yeah, let's do that. So I was like, if you go on this quest for the government of Waterdeep to go slay this dragon, your greatest wish will be granted when you return. Like, your greatest wishes will be like, we'll take care of you, basically. Mm. What I was going to do with that language, I don't know.
But you were going to figure it out later.
Yeah, but maybe there's like, oh, well, if like you have this deck of many things and you want to find out where this guy is, yeah, I'll cast the wish spell for that. You know, no, because the wish spell is supposed to tax the person that casts it.
Yeah.
But I think in that scenario, it's pretty easy to just like get some info, right?
Yeah, I think that's a much easier, like on the top tier of easiest tasks a wish can do.
Yeah. So the chaotic party I have, they draw out of this deck, you know, once a session or every other session. Mm-hmm. And last game we played, they drew a bunch of cards. So they drew three cards, I think, total. And one of them was the moon card, which grants three wishes. So now I don't know what the fuck's going to go on.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay. They also, I was telling you earlier, I introduced an NPC that they really didn't like.
You did tell me about this. Go ahead and tell the audience about
this situation. YouTube thing that I thought was funny called Sassy the Sasquatch, and you can check that out, I guess. But I really fucking like that character. He's like this weird, I thought it would be a cool fey creature, and Will agreed with me.
I did.
This would make a good fey creature. Yeah. And he was talking some fucking nonsense when they met him, though. They're like, I had them fey travel. Actually used a thing that you had done in our old game where I missed that session, but you guys told me about it. I was like, oh, I'd love to do that one day where you come up to like a wall that like you can't pass like left or right, and you have to go through it, and like
I'm trying to remember,
you go into the Fae.
Okay.
And then you guys did a bunch of stuff in the Fae, but I just had the meets.
Were you not there for those ones?
No, I missed one of the games.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, God, that was so long ago. You guys had to go through like this labyrinth.
Like 8 years ago.
It was a labyrinth, a Fae labyrinth. Yeah.
I didn't do most of the labyrinth.
Oh, man. I'm sorry you missed that because
it was a cool one. Yeah.
I don't remember the details, but I was like, yeah, I remember being really happy with what I put together.
Yeah, but the way they got into the Fae, I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, so I had this Fae creature create this barrier that they couldn't pass so that they could go into the Fae and talk to him. Mm-hmm. And then they just tried to fucking murder him right away. So I was like, oh, he's going to give you like information because this dragon being in this swamp is like affecting more than just the swamp. It's affecting the other planes that are adjacent as well. And so my guy, Sass, I wanted him to be like, hey, I'm going to help you murder the fuck out of this dragon because you guys are clearly out of your league with this.
Yeah, you can't do it alone.
They don't realize they are.
Oh my goodness. Okay, you said he was annoying to them, right?
Yeah.
What did you say to them?
Well, they asked where he's like, okay, what's your deal, man? Where are you from? How'd you get here? And he starts talking about, I basically start spitting out the thing that happens in Sassy the Sasquatch, which is like, I met a bunch of aliens and they dropped me off. And then I was like chilling with a bunch of dinosaurs. And then I was fucking like riding a dinosaur. And then like I felt there was a comet that was going to come. Like you could see it in the sky. But I fell asleep and I missed it. And I woke up and everybody was dead. And then I fucking like built a raft and like went out on the ocean. And they were like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? And they just started casting spells at this guy. I was like, yo, wait. Like, whoa, I'm doing a thing. He's a fake creature. He's supposed to like dance around the fucking...
Sure.
Be weird about it.
Yeah.
Maybe I was a little like... I did kind of make them suffer through it a little bit. But like to just like whiplash to that, like, I was
you know,
not
I'm
expecting...
I'm gonna kill him. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like not expecting that necessarily.
Well, you did say they're murder hobo-ish.
They are
so.
Murder hobo. It's a very murder hobo-esque campaign. So.
Speaking of your campaign, I'm trying to get in on some of these sessions coming up here pretty soon. And I had a lot of fun building my character for it. So I put together a Tempest Cleric slash Storm Sorcerer. He's way more Storm Sorcerer than Tempest Cleric. Mm-hmm. It's like 2 and 4. What level were you again? 6? You said level 6?
Yes. Well, now, see, things got weird because people were drawing out of the Deck of Many Things.
Where's
and
level
they were getting
7?
The Sun card, and we play Milestone. So I just level them up when they get it. So some people are level 8 right now, but I think most of the party's supposed to be level 7.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I built a level 7. So I think it's 2 Cleric and 5 Sorcerer.
That sounds fun.
And he's a Goliath, and I'm super stoked to play him because he's not going to play like either a Cleric or a Sorcerer. Basically.
Cool.
I grabbed Tempest Cleric. Basically, I wanted a lightning, thunder-themed guy because I like lightning and thunder, and mm-hmm. I mean, you know that. I picked up Tempest Cleric for 2 things. The weapon and armor proficiency that you get, heavy, so he'll be in plate.
Nice.
And then level 2, you get a feature called Destructive Wrath, which this is very power gamey, by the way, but essentially what Destructive Wrath does, for anyone who doesn't happen to know, is when you make a attack or cast a spell that does thunder or lightning damage, you can maximize the damage of that spell.
Cool. That's powerful.
Yeah, you could do that once a day, or is it once a short rest? I think it's once a short rest.
Even better.
Even better, yeah. Later, if I were to somehow pick up like 5 or 6 more levels of Cleric, which I'm not going to, I'd be able to do it twice a short rest, but that's not going to happen. And then the Storm Sorcerer stuff is just lots of lightning spells and a lot of the meta magic stuff. So one thing I want him to be able to do is, let's say I, for some reason, don't want to jump straight into the fray. I want to be able to quicken or twin cast haste.
Oh, hell yeah.
And you're hasted. And I just picture like he's just charging them up with electricity and they're running super fast.
That's fucking dope.
And then they can, jump in there and he'll hang back and cast spells.
Hell yeah.
But most of the time I want him to just jump into the fray with his lance, because I basically have built him around the Booming Blade cantrip. And so he only gets one attack. He doesn't get extra attack. So mm-hmm. Booming Blade fits really well for him. And at level 5, the Booming Blade cantrip gets an extra 1d8 of thunder damage. Mm-hmm. And it's a d12 for the lance. And I picked up a feat. So we haven't really talked about this, but the Glory of Giants book that released in August, mm-hmm. it has a bunch of giant feats or giant backgrounds, that come with a built-in feat.
Okay.
And so here, let me pull up my character because this shit's wild. And I haven't really kept track of the 1D&D updated stuff that they're supposed to come out with later this year.
Yeah.
But I do think that one of the things that they are considering is backgrounds having feats attached to them, because both the Glory of the Giants book and the Dragonlance book that came out not this last December, but the one before that,
right,
had backgrounds that had feats attached to them.
Okay. Man, I'm sad because I was collecting alternate art D&D books.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I stopped when the whole fucking OGL thing happened. And
yeah.
So many cool arts that have come out. Like, no, I'm not giving
but
them.
But they want to prey on that and that feeling of them, that collectible.
Know,
yeah,
I
and I, but I get it, dude. I'm sorry.
God damn it.
So I forgot. My character's name is Daboom Shaka. I forgot about that. So your game's wild and crazy. So I didn't build a serious character. So basically, Daboom is. He has like the personality of like a pro wrestler. Like he talks about himself in the third person. He's always hyping himself up and hyping his dudes up. Lots of flexing, a lot of Ginyu Force energy.
Right. Yeah.
But I wanted to talk real quick about this background because it's pretty cool. I like this move, and I think backgrounds having feats attached to them could be cool. So he's a giant foundling.
A foundling?
Basically, giants found him.
Oh, okay.
And raised him among themselves.
So he human or
he's
what?
A Goliath.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
He's raised by storm giants. And so he gets the feat he gets is called Strike of the Giants. So this is a really cool feat. And basically you get a rider effect on your melee attacks based on the type of giant that you were found by, right? So there's Cloud Strike, Fire Strike, Frost Strike, Hill Strike, Stone Strike, and Storm Strike.
Oh, sick.
So he obviously has Storm Strike. So I can do this a number of times equal to my proficiency mod. And what Storm Strike does is when I hit a target with a melee attack, which Booming Blade has a melee attack mm-hmm. built into it, I can deal an extra 1d6 of lightning damage. If the target is a creature, it must succeed on a con saving throw or has disadvantage on attack rolls until the start of its next
turn. I like it. So you're finding ways to stack your damage because you're missing that extra attack.
Exactly. So you can kind of
just pile it all into one.
Right. So I did some calculations.
High risk, high reward.
Exactly.
Sort of. Yeah.
Which is his personality.
Which He's a wrestling move.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. So I think I calculated it out, and if I crit on a Booming Blade attack, and I include my Storm Strike and all my other stuff, I think I can just like pop my Destructive Wrath and do like 48 damage right there.
Hell yeah.
But also, like, most of his lightning spells are AoE. So if I break out a lightning bolt and I can catch four or five creatures in it, then I'll bust Destructive Wrath on that.
Sick.
And just maximize my 8d6 lightning damage on each of them.
Sick.
So yeah, he's a heavy hitter.
Hell yeah.
He's a heavy hitter, but he's got some support. Like I said, he can dual haste his allies. He's got the sanctuary spell if he needs.
Yeah,
he's got healing
the
word.
Heavy armor.
Yeah, he's going to be
That's
up front
important.
Taking the hits. Yeah, so he's an all-arounder, and I fucking love him.
Yeah, our dude that died was a sorcerer.
Yeah.
He had 11 AC and didn't have a way to boost his AC.
Ooh, yeah. I have 18 AC. I could have 20, but I decided to go with a two-hand. Mm. Like I said, he doesn't play like a sorcerer. He plays more like a cleric, but honestly, he kind of plays like his own weird hybrid thing.
Yeah, like an Eldritch Knight, sort of.
Yeah, kind of more like an Eldritch Knight is how he plays. My spell list, let me see here. Where's my spells? Boom Blade, Dancing Lights, Gust, Prestidigitation. And yeah, he's going to use that a lot, especially when he's like announcing himself in the fight, which is something I want him to always do. I always want him to, like, every time it's his turn, he's going to like announce himself or say, or like shit talk, even if the thing doesn't like understand what he's saying.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's all a him thing.
Exactly.
That's always fun.
I picked up that Thunderstep spell that Echo
had.
Oh,
that's very cool.
And I'm like, oh, that's going to be fun.
Very cool spell.
Yeah, so lots of fun stuff. On the cleric side, I had to grab spells. So he's all charisma. His wisdom is basically dumped.
Oh man.
So the wisdom spells I have, or the cleric spells I have, don't rely on wisdom like Sanctuary and Healing Word.
So good for fighting, bad for adventuring.
Yeah, he's good in a fight. He's got a high charisma, so he's actually pretty good at social stuff too.
Yeah, township. But going out into the field,
yeah,
the wilderness,
exploring,
and stuff, yeah,
or sneaking, fuck no. He don't believe in that shit.
We've got other people for that.
Exactly. So I'm excited. It's going to be a good time. I just want to show up and zap shit and smash shit, and it's going to be fun.
It's the grand adventures of Ilion and Beard.
Ilion, I see a sign for a potion shop.
Oh, wonderful, yes.
Sort of
just
tucked away, like in this alley a little bit.
Oh, wow, I can smell the back guano from here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, pungent.
It's
quite pungent.
Wonderful.
That's
Let's
definitely what we need. Yeah.
Indeed.
Oh, we got to walk down around this, on this side of this building and around this hillside.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Quite out of the way.
Oh, but there it is. Oh, look at this. It's a little rickety.
Are you sure this is a store?
It says it's a store. See the sign. It was kind of hard to see.
I do see the sign.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go inside. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. It's a lot. Hello. Hi.
This place is a mess.
Welcome to Super Potions. I got them. I got them all.
Yeah, well, you do got them.
I got,
They're just all
I got
over
them all.
The place.
Well, I almost got them all. Okay, I'm making more.
You do indeed got them, but they're, well, I'm going to be quite frank. It's a mess in here.
My name's not Frank. Man, there's just a lot of stuff everywhere, and I can tell you've got a lot of... Look, at the rich color of this healing potion, Ilion. It looks like exactly what we need. You've got the goods.
You've got the goods. You just need to work on your inventory.
I was lucky to see the sign out front to find this place.
Yes, it was quite out of the way.
And it's a little stuffy. Not sure if you're properly ventilating in here or not, but, you know, I'm not a narc.
Yeah, you know, I really wish I could make some changes. I my grandpappy, he's in a better place now, but he left me this building, and, you know, I've got my stuff here, and I just, you know, I'm really good at making potions, right? That's what I'm really good at.
I'm going to take your word for it.
But this whole, the commerce aspect, I could really use some guidance, honestly.
Well, lucky for you, I happen to have an item that could help you with this conundrum.
I'm all ears.
Behold, as I conjure forth with my magic, a wand! of Shopify.
He's doing magic again. He's doing it again.
Wow, he's doing really good magic.
It's a wand this time.
Take it in your hand, wow. Anonymous shopkeeper number two.
This seems... I'm going to level with you right now. I'm holding this wand right now, and it feels super, super powerful.
With this wand of Shopify, you will have total control and customization over your store in a way you'd never believe.
So wait, you're just giving this guy... You could have made a reality-altering wand this whole time?
Only if it relates to mercantile discrepancies, Ben. Shopify specializes specifically in the entrepreneurial arts.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. And now that you're thinking, now that I'm thinking about it, if you knocked out this front-facing wall and add supports here to make sure your little house doesn't fall over, you could get the proper ventilation and build your storefront right here if only that hillside wasn't in the way. But let's see, can the wand blast? Give me that thing.
Here you go.
Yes, yes, yes. I'll blast away this hillside. Yeah!
Shopify lets you customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. Look how good it looks.
Wow, I didn't think it could look this good. And look, I can see the street. You're right. And people look interested in what's going on over here.
With this wand, anonymous shopkeeper number two, you will become a selling wizard. No code needed, no design skills needed, and no need to burn a spell slot.
This will be the greatest potion shop in all the land.
And you can have this wand in exchange for a cart full of all the potions we want.
We need a lot of them for good times and for bad times.
Mostly for the bad times.
Mostly those, but we need the good time ones too.
I've got them.
It's a deal then. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast to take your business to the next level today.
That's shopify.com/dungeoncast.
Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
I remembered what one pager we were playing. It's called Magic Magic.
Okay.
And it's by the team. It's a one pager that was designed by the team that I believe their podcast is called My First Dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to start listening to them soon. They've been recommended to me a lot. So I am going to check that out. I guess I suggest you guys do too. But their one pager is like borderline unplayable because you have two, or it's been called that because I thought it was a lot of fun. You have two stats, magic and magic.
Okay.
I don't know if I was doing it right. We have three X's on the first magic and three X's on the second magic. And when you do magic, you have to move an X from one pool to the other.
Okay.
And then you have like a pass fail ratio that has to be like you have to roll lower than the amount of X's you have. So if I have five X's in one category, a one will pass and nothing else. But if I do that stat and an X moves from that back to the other category, it's
okay,
like
I understand
that mechanic makes it a little confusing to play because which magic is magic? Because there are two different things. It's like magic I cast versus magic stuff I'm good at, I think.
Whoa, okay. Now I'm confused. I thought I had it, but now I've lost it.
Honestly, it would be better to probably pull the page up to go over it, but I think that's a little much for this episode.
Right, right.
But it is available, I believe, because we used it.
How did the session go? You said it was a good time.
It was a lot of fun. Mariko ran in, and it was a great time. Cool. Mariko's pretty talented at like just sort of like running shit on the fly, The one pager is designed to help you sort of do that too.
Okay.
You roll for like what the contingencies are in the game, you know, like oh, here's who's evil and here's the problem, here's like the item, like here's the quest grab, like they've got stuff in there included that you can randomly roll for. I remember Jake played with, sorry my voice is super cracky this episode, but Jake played with us. And at the end, I remember him being like, did you just fucking come up with this like right now? And she was like, well, I had the tables, but yeah. And I was like, yeah, Monica's good at this shit.
That's cool, man. That's awesome.
Nailed it. We had a lot of fun. I'm having to like jog my memory to pull the details out of it of like what character I was because I had to like randomly roll. I remember I had a big, do you know those lions, the stuffed animal ones that are like big? They're like 3 feet. They're like one meter. You get them at like carnivals and stuff, or like Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, sure. I think
they're like they're like look a little realistic looking.
Yeah,
I had a prop because in Magic, you're all magicians.
Okay,
and we were running like what's that movie? I did this in the game too, where I was like, what's the movie with all those dudes like Woody Harrelson, and they run like a heist, and they're all magicians.
I never saw it, but I know what you're talking about.
Well, anyway, it was that style of movie where we're like kind of running a heist a little bit.
Okay,
we were based out of like Laughlin, Arizona, or Nevada, Laughlin, Nevada.
Okay, yeah.
And we were like, I was like a washed up, like older. I was Bavid. What was it? Bavid Blaine.
Okay, Bavid. David?
David Delane.
David Delane.
David. It was David Blaine.
David Delane.
Was it Blavid Dane? That's Blavid what it was. Dane. Blavid Dane. You got to carry that all with you.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah,
I
was Blavid Dane. we had to go to Florida to like fuck with this other magician and like steal his like card of power that had like...
Real magic?
I don't know. There was some necromancy going on. I was a necromancer, but the thing I want to talk about was my prop was this lion, and it was like made to look fake, but it was real. So I sick it on people.
That's badass.
Fucking sick.
I like that.
Yeah, that was like all stuff I randomly rolled for. One pagers are great. If you guys haven't played one pagers,
yeah, they could be a lot of fun. Yeah. I think I've only done three Goblin Punks. 5 second rule was a one pager, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then the chicken game, which is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I'm sad I had to miss that one.
And with those games, a lot of times, you roll like a D6 on like two or three different tables to roll up your character.
Right.
And like work with what you got. It's kind of like the spirit of the game.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, which is going to be really fun.
And we just were like, hey, you guys, we're just free tonight. You guys want to play a one pager real quick? And then we're just pretty much ready to go. I mean, like, there's no prep work.
Necessary.
Just kind of do the thing. And
as long as whoever's running the game is comfortable with the improv.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm comfortable enough where I could probably pick up almost any one pager and just like go for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Monica did an awesome job and we had a lot of fun. So that was cool. I'd like to do more of that. It's just like squeezing those in here and there is what they're for, right?
Yeah, time is difficult. Scheduling's always a problem. Speaking of scheduling, I want to talk a little bit about my home game that I'm a player in. We talked about it a little bit last time we did an episode like this, which place I told you we were doing a Dark Sun setting.
That's right.
But my character really doesn't fit the Dark Sun setting, and so the DM like jumped through some hoops to make it work. And because he's an Eladrin paladin, he's very knightly, but he has been cursed with this ice sword that won't leave him alone and has some sort of spirit in it.
Okay.
And this last session that we played really got the story wheels going in a way that I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, this is going to be amazing.
Hell
so
yeah.
Essentially, ends up finding that the Eladrin Kingdom that my dude came from was responsible for basically fucking up like the multiverse.
Nice.
So they're locked in an eternal like spring summertime of like verdant green and everything is plentiful and whatnot. And the way they did that was by sealing away the Archfey of Winter into an object, which was this sword I end up getting later on.
Cool.
And the machine that was used, basically there is a whole Fomorian plot. And there's like hag stuff going on as well.
Fomorians.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah. And basically, they cut a deal with the Eladrins to seal away this Winter Fae who was causing them all kinds of problems because she didn't like how good they were at surviving winter.
Oh. Sounds like Aurel.
Guess who it is?
It's Aurel.
It's Aurel is locked in my sword.
Hell yeah.
And she's pissed, bro. So
she wants to be out there doing winter shit,
but she's pissed specifically at my kingdom and my home.
Put her in a sword, dude.
Yeah, they put her in a sword, and my guy's all like freaked out because like he feels like he's been lied to his whole life. Also, my dude finds out he's not even so. He's half Eladrin, right? And so I just rolled with Eladrin stats, but he's quote unquote half Eladrin.
Oh, you're a half elf, technically?
Yeah. Always not
statistically.
His dad was a human.
Uh-huh.
It was never really said. Finds out his dad is actually one of the minor Winter Fae who served in Aurel's court.
Oh, no.
And he's managed to evade detection and capture by the Eladrin people by hiding amongst them. You know, transformed.
Yo,
so
hiding in plain sight.
All these bombs have been dropped, but he left, and the reason he left was because he couldn't evade detection any longer, so he had to go. So this is the first time my character ever met his dad.
Your dad is Omni-Man, sort of.
I guess so, yeah.
That's not exactly the plot.
No, but I hear what you're saying. So anyways, yeah, the Fomorian plot, basically, in exchange for access to the World Tree, they would build a machine that could do the thing they wanted to seal Aurel away. They do that, but the machine is draining elemental energy from various planets of the cosmos, right?
Oh, shit.
And so the planet that we're on, the quote-unquote Dark Sun planet, which is just kind of like, much like your water deep is just your water deep.
Oh, it definitely is.
This Dark Sun is just our Dark Sun, so it's completely different from normal Dark Sun.
That's like what it should be a lot of the time, right?
I agree.
Like,
yeah, no, I agree, for sure.
Playing traditional setting is like, you're talking about like where are we,
so
what timeline are we inserting, or what part of the timeline or whatever.
Okay, we're gonna take a tangent here because I was talking to Michelle about like different like philosophies of dungeon mastering and stuff, and how like one of the things on the show that I like to try and remember, or when I'm writing the book, you know, I'm writing a section of the book that I would never use.
Michelle is your life partner.
Michelle is my life partner, my fiance, my love. sorry. So, but I was talking to her about how, like, I have to take into consideration that there's an entire half of the D&D community that has a completely different ethos of philosophy on dungeon mastering.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to have to make it up on their own. You know, to them, that's work. To me, that's not work. You know what's work is having this encyclopedia that I have to learn and adhere to. Mm-hmm. That's work for me, and I don't like doing that.
Yeah.
But there's a whole subsect of the D&D community that's how they dungeon master, because they just want it to be there and not have to think about it. They just have to learn it. They don't want to have to make it up, because to them, that's work. And neither of these is wrong. Both of these are just completely different philosophies of running a game. Mm-hmm. But yes, I agree with you. I don't like running other settings and following them like to the T, because that's work. And like,
yeah, I like pulling the cool shit out of that.
Exactly.
Stuff.
That's like, what I like doing.
Hey, this will work really well for what I want to do in my game today, because I have a story that I want to tell.
Exactly.
It's not someone else's story. And that's not to say that I'm shitting on the people that do it the other way.
Right.
Whatever works for you. If you guys are playing D&D and having fun, that's great.
That's
feel like
the important part.
As somebody on this side of the fence that mm-hmm. wants to make their own game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, we run a lore show here.
Yes,
and it's like really useful. Like every episode that I thought was cool, I've basically used in my game at some point. Mm-hmm. Like right now I'm mm-hmm. doing a green dragon.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. The thickest thickets. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
We haven't even gotten to the thickets yet, but
I don't know if you ever will, man.
We did. Yeah, I know.
but yeah, no, I'm completely with you on that, but
yeah.
Back to this campaign. So,
Before that, let's all stop shitting on each other.
Yeah. It's
just
okay to run these
their
games the way they want. And it's okay if people run it differently.
Yeah. We don't need to shit on each other about
no
it.
No need.
It's all good.
So basically, this world that we're on, the reason that it is the way it is, this desert wasteland of death, is because this great machine that's somewhere in the cosmos, we don't know, is draining this planet's particular element of water.
Oh,
so this planet
is turning into Dune.
It is Dune already. But like, theoretically, if it continues, the planet will have less and less and less water until it's just uninhabitable.
Planet of ash.
And theoretically, there's three other planets out there that are being drained of their air, earth, and fire, respectively.
Oh, man.
And so this big reveal has actually been great, because it's like, holy shit, we're going to go planet hopping. We got to save these four worlds. Like, you know, and they're all going to be so different from each other because of this machine and grand adventure, Final Fantasy style. Let's fucking go.
You know, sometimes
I'm stoked.
Sometimes I've been getting hit with like, there's a few shows I was watching that do this and some others. I don't know what it is. They lay out this quest like that's going to be like, oh, we have these four places to go or these seven items to collect.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe we've got one of those things to do.
Oh,
and this
really?
Next thing is going to happen instead.
Interesting.
Because something came in and like changed for whatever.
Yeah, we're taking a left turn.
Yeah, and I can't get into those specifics because they're spoilers for those shows, but
yeah,
it's really funny how they set up these big like, oh, it's gonna be a really long show because like they gotta find these fucking x amount of whatever, and then all of a sudden like y amount of those things is just like taken care of.
Wow.
And
that's interesting.
And then it's like, oh well, we have this other thing to do now that is like more succinct
more
and
important.
Less like drawn out, because those kind of plots are drawn out.
And they
that's
can be, yeah.
Great for D&D.
Yeah.
Okay, quest one, done. Quest two, done. Like, I've played a lot of video games like that.
Yeah.
But if, like, the bad guy showed up with, like, four of the orbs out of the five orbs I need, and I've got one orb, and he comes and, like, fucking destroys half the planet or whatever, and there's nothing I can do, that's fun, too. Now we've got
that
a different
fun.
Thing to do.
Yeah.
What else you got?
So I think last time we talked about this, I talked about how Michelle had a Warforged wizard that was reflavored.
Mm-hmm.
So she discovered a thing that I think a lot of people discover when they make a character that they like the concept of, but have trouble role playing. And that's that it's okay if you can't role play a creature, a thing, a cool idea that you had. If you can't pull it off and you're kind of like over trying and you want to do something else, that's okay. It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
You will find as you play the game, there are some things you're really good at role playing. There's some things that you struggle to role play. Like I would not make, and I at this point refuse to even try anymore to be like a charismatic bard. I just don't have that character in me. It's hard for me to pull it off. I have a lot of other characters in me and I have more fun with those.
Mm-hmm.
So she switched her character. Story wise, her robot wizard has ventured off into the desert somewhere. And, She's now playing a tiefling cosmic sorcerer. So lots of stars and moon magic.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's so, and immediately she's playing like this really like energetic and boisterous character. And she's just fell right into the roleplay easier. That's awesome.
I love seeing that.
Yeah, so it's been really cool. Only one session with that character. I can't wait for the next one. This last one got canceled. DM Jake, if you're hearing this, I hope your back's feeling better, man. Man, back pain is the worst.
DM Jake, you sounds like you're doing some cool shit over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep it up.
Can't wait for the next game. It's going to be fun. Other than that, the only thing I have going on in my personal life is a friend of the show, Tom, who co-host of the Do Could You Imagine, a podcast that we used to do back in the day, reached out to me. We hung out, and he asked me if I'd run a game for him and his close friends. He really wants to play. And so we're running a one-shot. And
hell yeah.
It's been really nice preparing a game on the DM side that is not content. You know, I don't have to worry about an audience. I don't have to worry about production levels. I just got to do the fun stuff of I'm doing a map on a hex grid thing. I bought myself a book, right?
And sick.
I'm mapping out this island and coming up with cool like little like interest points on the island and events and stuff like that. And you know, I bought this book that has a bunch of random tables that we're going to roll on, and I'm picking music for battle soundtracks and stuff and putting together playlists. I'm just having a good time, man.
Nice.
It's just super chill. It's like I do all this D&D work, and then when I have free time, I'm like, you know what I want to do? I want to prepare this other adventure for fun that's never going to be on camera, that's never going to get recorded, and that's going to be a blast. So
yeah, that is, once again, that's like a difficult thing for us because our free time goes into making D&D content.
Yeah.
So we find ourselves like doing the content stuff a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. But absolutely true.
But while that's not like, you know, I don't have a content game right now, so I'm just kind of doing whatever, like the one pager, the home game. I call it coworker game, but we've all moved on from that job.
Yeah. So. You're no longer coworkers.
Well, that's the funny thing is we are because we all left the company and went to the same company.
That's so incredible.
Yeah.
It still is a coworker game. It's
still kind of the coworker game, although we're all in different offices kind of scattered around SoCal.
Okay. But interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
It is still a coworker game, but they're my friends at this point. So,
absolutely. You
know, and we've lost some players because they, you know, ongoing illness or like somebody had a baby,
yeah.
You know, that sort of
these
thing. So
happen.
That's why we're like, dude, we need players. And so you want to jump in.
Dude,
that's
I'm
cool.
So down. So we're playing fourth edition, which I love. And I will sing fourth edition phrases
game.
In my game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In my game, we're playing fourth edition.
With DM Jake,
the one I'm playing.
Not your special guest, Jake.
No. And also not the game I'm running for Tom. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. A lot of irons in the fire.
Fourth edition, I will sing its phrases forever. I could get into its critiques as well. And one day we will do a fourth edition explained episode, which we will go into both. But I'm not part of a 5e game that I'm playing in. And so I'm very excited to do that. Because
sick.
I like DMing 5e a lot. Mm-hmm. I like playing in 4e a lot, but I also like playing with 5e a lot. Now I just got to find someone who will run a Dungeon Crawl Classics campaign for me. And apparently Final Fantasy XIV, the MMO, is coming out with a beautiful-looking TTRPG book.
Ooh.
And I'm, like, so interested because I love Final Fantasy XIV.
That sounds awesome.
So, yes.
That was 14 was online, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And that's a wonderful game.
I love how they just, like, make different games and just call it Final Fantasy.
Yeah. It's
a fucking different
game.
Most
confusing things to new people to the franchise is like, well, there's 16 of them, but none of them have anything to do with each other in any way, shape, or form.
Except stylistically and some of the enemies.
Yeah, there will be like themes that carry over or like names of enemies and items.
Most of them have chocobos.
Yeah, yeah. They're just each their own D&D campaign in their own setting that happen to share a similar DMG.
Yes,
so
that's sort of true.
Yeah.
It becomes less true
strokes.
The more they make.
Exactly. So. Yeah. But yeah, so I want to play that and find someone to run that. So I don't have enough time for all the TTRPGing I want to do.
There's so much content in the TTRPG space, and there's a lot to do and a lot of different flavors to try. So
Diggy offered to run Old School Essentials for us, which is like a retro first edition D&D clone. Basically, it's like, we're going to take first edition D&D and we're going to modernize it to modern gaming standards and make it comprehensive and all together. And a lot of people sing high praises for Old School Essentials.
Nice. Sounds like fun.
Yeah. So, and he offered to run stuff for us, and I want to take him up on it, and we got to find the time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's another one I'd love to run.
Oh, you mean for us? Like me
for
and
us,
you?
For
oh,
me and you. Yeah, yeah,
fun,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, exactly. It would be fun. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I haven't forgotten Diggy. I've just been busy. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, we're pressed for time all the time. Yeah.
But that's all I got going on in my personal TTRPG life.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for me too. I mean, like, I have a world I've been writing for a long time, and I continue to plug at that every now and again.
Yeah. So okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's just fun. I mean, like, I've been doing more map drawing lately, like you, kind of like you. Mm-hmm. But nothing serious at the moment. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that being said, I think we can get ready for a long rest.
Yeah. Hey everybody, welcome to Long Rest. This is the part of the show where we put on these very lively slippies. They just want to roll dice real bad. And what? Let them, you know?
Just let them.
You ever roll dice with your feet?
No, I haven't actually.
Fun fact about me, and my family members all know this, and many of my close friends, and now you will know this too, William, okay. Is I have very dexterous feet.
I also have very dexterous feet. My toes are long enough that I can grab things like hands.
Yes, I can do. It's mostly my...
Which is not something I'd ever expected to say on this show.
Exactly, so, right? It's come up now, though.
But you know, anyone who makes it to the long rest, they deserve those secret nuggets.
They deserve
to
these
know, like about our toes.
These sweet nugs. Yeah, grab... I could easily grab a D20 and throw it.
Oh, me too. I definitely could. I never have, but I definitely could.
I mostly use that power to pick up socks and put them in the laundry.
Yes, I do that as well.
Things like that. So that's fun that we have that in common. I thought that was going
to
be.
I didn't think there was anything new left to learn about you, bro.
Yeah, people are like, you have what kind of feet? And I was like, yeah, I can do this and this and this. Like, that's cool. But then they see me do it and they're like, fuck, man, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, no, yeah. Yes, that's, yeah. People probably get weirded out.
You can grab this.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, easily,
yeah, I can grab that.
Easily.
Yeah. There's a bottle of water. Yeah, here.
I could literally like push my foot up and like grip it with my toes on the side and pull it up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Do you think you could get the cap off of this? I don't think I could do that.
No,
yeah.
I couldn't do that.
That
no.
Sounds hard.
I will say that my son was born with little miniature exact copies of my feet. So one day he also will be able to do this.
He will have your power.
Indeed.
Yeah, I could probably grip this bottle cap with my toes really hard and then twist the bottle below it so the cap comes off.
Like, so
grip strength of my feet could handle that, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and then you twist it with your hand. Yeah,
there
absolutely.
You go. Yeah, for sure. If we were compromising here. And then I would not want to drink out of it.
I bet if we talked long enough we'd find the one thing that one of our feet could do that the other couldn't.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe we should do some foot stuff and and then get put it to the test. Be like, what can't I do? Where are my limits?
What can't my feet do?
I don't do everything I could do. Probably I don't try everything I could try with my feet. You know,
neither do I.
So maybe we should figure out.
We should consider it.
Figure out what our limits are. You know,
this might be the weirdest long rest we've ever taken.
Let's get Greek with the feet. And
what does that mean?
I don't know. Like, well, like, let's get like Spartan with it. We need to find our physical limits.
Okay, I'm down.
Yeah, and then fuck, we talk about like plug shit here, huh?
Okay. Normally,
yeah, normally. So we did a slippies.
Everyone shut off this episode by this point.
Oh, it got weird with the feet stuff. It's a new one for the Dungeon Cast.
I thought this was the dick joke podcast.
Yeah, now they're talking about feet stuff. Everybody likes something. And that's fine. That's for people with foot kinks, I guess. I don't know. What we're trying to say is that we have social media.
We do. Find us on Instagram, on X, formerly known as Twitter, on Mastodon. We're on Threads. We are on Discord. That's the best place. I'm gonna level with you guys right now. Discord is the best place. They're all good, but Discord is the best one.
Yeah, it's just objectively the best.
Yes, and the community there
for no particular reason
is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Our Discord is just generally phenomenal. The mods, Diggy is the admin. You guys are all great. I love spending time there. Most of the time, I'm just lurking. But, you know, I also try and respond when people reach out to me. And I feel like I have like a 95% get back to you rate on on Discord. So if you guys are interested in hitting us up, that's the place to do it, especially if you want to engage with us on the hobby in general.
Yeah, and I love going into Artapalooza and scrolling. It's been a second
since
I
did. Yeah, that one's fun, yeah.
Will actually scrolls Discord with his toes, just so you guys know.
I could, too. Yeah, it's not that.
You think you can unlock your phone with your feet?
Yeah, I could.
I have a pin, so I could.
Yeah,
I also have a pin.
I could tap four. Yeah,
I don't know if I'll get it right the first time. Like I might.
No, I'd probably fuck it up like three or four times.
Hell yeah, yeah, I probably would too. I could do it now. I've got a fingerprint scanner on my thing. I could probably put my toe in there.
You probably could.
Yeah,
I think most people could do that one though.
Yeah, most people could. I'm just proud.
All right, let's call it a game. We're going to call it a game.
Wait, do we have anything else to play?
No, there's too much feet.
You're right. Bye.
Bye.
The Dungeon Cast.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice. A horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.